for the week, it all can be changed today. Good or bad, this is the house of the Lord, and God can change anything. Amen? Quick praise report. Want to say personally, now that I had the opportunity, thank you for your prayers for my dad. Thursday, he came home. 2 weeks faster than what they thought he would. So prayer has definitely changed things. So if you have any doubt about prayer and about what prayer can do, just let me tell you that prayer can change things. Amen? And I thank you so much. My dad is appreciative. Lord willing, he will be here this next Sunday for service. He's just still trying to get his strength back a little bit. But he is very thankful also. And Lord willing, Sunday we will see him. Amen? I'm going to go into the book of John this morning, chapter 11. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, and then skip into verse 25. Very familiar passage, something that's been taught on a lot, preached on a lot. It's a very exciting story when we read it in the scripture. John 11, starting verse 1, says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and had wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." And then skip into verse 25. This is Jesus speaking to Mary and Martha. "And he said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Yet shall he live. Just want to talk a little bit this morning on the subject, the end is just the beginning. The end is just the beginning. I love the story of Lazarus. Like I said, it's an exciting story. There's so many things you can get out of this story, so many concepts of a life that can be changed, about what God can do in your life. And I believe that Lazarus' story is his resurrection is so powerful simply because it shows what God can do. It shows what God can do. But in the scriptures following our text that we read, Lazarus succumbs to his illness and he passes away. He passes away. And it reminds us that it's not over until God says it's over. Because when we look at the fact that he passes away after he's sick and what God can do, it reminds us that God can do anything. It reminds us that there's endless possibilities to the power of God and of what God's opportunities are in our lives. And a lot of that has to do with what we will allow God to do. Because we can come to God and we can come to church, but if we never freely open our arms and open our lives to God, we never allow him to work in our life. We never allow him to make those changes in our lives and an opportunity for him to show his glory through our lives. Amen? I can come here day in and day out and I can be sick, I can be bitter, I can be full of shame, I can be full of hurt. But unless I allow God to work in my life, he's never going to do something mighty in my life. There's never going to be a miraculous change where his glory just shines through as a testimony of his power and might. That's my opportunity to change, but only if I allow it. Only if I allow it. It teaches us that God is not only glorified by our sin, our sickness, and our disease, but he is glorified through the deliverance of our healing and our salvation. That's where he gets his glory. Amen? See, God, his plan of salvation, his plan for our life is never for us to stay sick. It's never for us to stay hurt, to stay in the same condition that we are. He's a God of change. He believes in change. Everything that God touches, he changes. Everywhere that Jesus went in the scripture, something happened in that place. There was a change. And so God wants to get glory through us. So that's why we have to allow that. Because he's not just going to come around and say, yep, there's my Christians there, just... they're hurting, they're shameful, yep, look at them, I'm getting great glory from that. That's not God's plan. No, God wants us to live a life of blessings. God wants us to be healed. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to be the light into this world. We're not going to be a light into the world if we're always down in the doom and gloom. Oh, poor's me. That's a great witness. Oh, man, let me tell you, my life has been horrible this week. Oh, only thing that was good was I got a chance to go to bed a little bit early. It's the only thing good that happened to me this week. No, that's not being a light. Being a light is saying, let me tell you what God did for me this week. Let me tell you how God healed one of my family members this week. Let me tell you what God did in my personal life this week, in my finances and in my home. That's where we can be the light that shines through this world and God gets his glory. Amen? So in our story, Jesus, he hears that Lazarus is sick. And it's not just somebody that comes along the way, because through the scriptures we see example after example where people sought out Jesus. They wanted a touch from him. They wanted to be healed. And they were just people in the crowd. They were just people that heard that Jesus was passing by, and they knew that maybe they could get his attention. But this was a different situation because it clearly states that Jesus loved him. He knew them. There was a relationship there with them. I mean, you got to remember, it was the same Mary that washed his feet and wiped off the anointing oil with her hair. So there was a relationship there previously. He knew them. He loved them. And so this was a situation where they told, hey, your friend whom you love, your friend, he's sick and he's dying. What would you do if you really loved someone and you found out they were dying? You would get there as quick as possible. But Jesus didn't do that. He waited 2 days, the scripture says. So the obvious question is, why would he wait 2 days to go and see Lazarus when he has the power right then and there just to speak the word of healing? We know as Christians that he didn't even have to go there. He could have just right then and there and says, go back to your brother, he's fine now. Because just at the word of Jesus, it could have happened. But that didn't happen either. He sent him back and he just went about his business for the next 2 days. And the answer, really, when we study it, is Jesus can just as easily raise him from the dead as he can heal him. When you look at the scripture, he could have spoke the word and healed him, but it's just as simple for God to just raise him from the dead. And so there was a teachable moment here that God wanted to show us in scripture and show the disciples there, that it doesn't matter how long or how bad the situation may be, it's never too late for God to change it. It doesn't matter where you are in your life or what circumstances have brought you to in this point in time, God can still move in your situation, whether it been 2 days or whether it been a week. Maybe it's been a year, or maybe it's like the guy at the Pool of Bethesda that has been there 38 years lame and sick. It's no timetable to God. God is on his own timetable. Amen? It's all the same to Jesus. It's the same power that heals a headache that drives cancer out of the body. That's why we talk about children, the faith of a child. The Bible speaks about that. A child's faith is easy. They can just come up, you know, this got a little scratch in their finger. Oh, pray for my finger. It's going to be good. Well, it's that same faith to just pray for that little finger that a child can walk up and pray for someone that's blind or has cancer and they can be healed. It's the same power, same authority, same faith, same God. Amen? The same power that heals a pulled muscle is the same power that drives out a demon in a person's life. After 2 days, Jesus says, now let's go wake up Lazarus. After 2 days. And Jesus is even reluctant to really speak of Lazarus as dead when you read the scripture. He doesn't want to say he's dead. He doesn't want to put him in that situation. He just talks of him of being asleep. And I can imagine the disciples, you know, really just being kind of dumbfounded on this, because, you know, the disciples just really never got it. No matter what Jesus did, no matter what he showed them, they was always late to the party. And so he's trying to get their attention here a little bit, just another time, another opportunity for them to understand the power of God and what he can do in their life. And so because of his power, there is no difference in what can happen, whether it be 2 days or a week or a year. And so I look at our situation today here as Christians, and I wonder if somebody here today, if we wonder if our case is like Lazarus, that maybe it's too hard for God. It's been 2 days, it's been 3 days in our lives, and we're going through some situations and through some problems, and like the disciples were maybe thinking, we're just, well, it's nothing's going to change now. It's become more like a permanent thing in our life, and obviously God just wants me to live this way. It's the way life is going to be, is our attitude sometimes. I know I've been that way sometimes, going through some trials, going through some things that ended up, I thought would last a week and ended up lasting a couple years. And I just look at God, well, obviously this is just the way you want it to be, God. I don't understand why. I have no answer to it except just to trust you, so this is just the way life is going to be. Just convinced that nothing is going to change. And it's the wrong way of thinking. It's the wrong way of thinking because God can still change it regardless of the timetable. So it may be too hard for doctors when they give you a bad report, but Jesus is still able to make a change. He is the healer. Another thing this story can show us is that it's never too late. We should never give up hope. No matter how long, how hard. I understand some circumstances, they look like they're just huge, that you can't see around them. I said this before, one of the most powerful messages that Pastor ever taught. It was on a Wednesday night, and it was on the subject of sometimes you can't see around the mountain yourself. Sometimes you can't bring yourself to pray because the mountain is too big in front of you. And sometimes you need someone else to help. And that's the way it is in life. Sometimes our problems are just so big, so dynamic, that we just don't see a way around them. We don't see a way over them. We don't see a way through the valley. We don't know what to do. We don't even know what to pray at times. We just, that's the way we are to God. Just they don't even know, just like a baby. I mean, we're dumbfounded. But we can never give up. We can never give up hope. Is that's one thing the scripture from Genesis to Revelation constantly reaffirms in our life, is that we can never give up hope because God is always there. He will never, I mean, how many can raise your hand and say God has forsaken you? Honestly, that he has failed you in your life. We can't do it. Yes, we've had some trials, we've had some tribulations, but God has always brought us through. What's the evidence to that? The evidence is that we're here today and we're breathing. We're still walking on our two feet. Just that simple evidence right there shows that God has not forsaken us, that he is still here with us. So we should never quit praying. We should never quit praising God. We should never quit worshiping God. Every time we come to this house, we give God everything we have. We worship him because our circumstances, though what they could be a whole lot worse. I've made sure in my life, because I've found myself in that situation, I never say, oh, I can't get worse than this. Because I do realize it could always get worse. It could. Just give it a minute. It could. And I don't never want to slip up and say that, because I'm afraid as soon as I say that, that'd be God like, well, let me show you how worse it could be. Just that's my personal fear. But never quit believing. Never quit trying, because God is never quitting on you. God is never going to stop trying to reach you. Never going to stop trying to change your life and to give you a blessed life. Amen? So you're closer than you think many times. That's one of my main points here, is you're closer than you think. I wonder how many people have lost out on a healing and a blessing. They had prayed and they had prayed and they had prayed. And finally they got to the point where they just gave up. And if they just could only see in the spirit how close they were to getting that answer, they wouldn't have stopped praying. Maybe they would have been just that one prayer away. Maybe that one prayer away. You remember the story in the Bible, the centurion, he prayed, and he knew that he wanted more from God. He knew there was something more of God, and he prayed and prayed and prayed, and the angel came and visited Peter and said, hey, you're going to go to this guy? Well, what does the scripture say about his prayers? They became a memorial before God. He had prayed a lot. There was a lot of prayers that went up to build that memorial before God to get God's attention. And so what would have happened if he would have stopped a little bit short of reaching that goal? What would have happened if he would have stopped just maybe two prayers away from reaching God? It would have been a different story. Maybe his whole house wouldn't have received salvation like they did. But instead, he kept praying. He kept praying until something happened. He kept praying until something changed in his life. And that's where we have to be in our relationship with God. We have to keep praying until something happens. Sometimes it's our prayers that changes the conditions. Yes, God has his perfect will. God has a plan and purpose. But what does the scripture say? He likes to work through us. God could come down and do everything on his own. He doesn't need us. He doesn't have to have us. Half of the time, we hinder his plan more than anything because we're human. We're imperfect. But he likes to show his glory through us. That's why he uses us. He works through us. That's why we can't stop praying. Because if we stop praying, we're not going to give that opportunity for someone else's life to be blessed. Your life is a testimony to someone else. How are they going to know what healing power of God is unless they've seen the healing power of God through somebody? Well, how is somebody going to get healed unless somebody in faith follows Scripture and walks up and lays hands on them and prays the prayer of faith so God's power can heal them? He works through us. Amen? See, it's all about God's timing. This is the hardest thing I think Christians we deal with. At least me, anyways. I'll be an honest one here today. I have a hard time with God's timing because I like to be impatient. I like to have things right in here, right now. I like to pray my prayers and think, okay, God, you're going to answer it right now. Or you're going to answer, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and I'm going to have my answer. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes it does. Remember, in heaven as it is in earth, the prayer, that's the way it is. We have to pray, God, whatever your purpose is, your will, your timing, that's what I want to happen on earth in my life. And sometimes if we're right in line with God and His Spirit, we can pray that right prayer and we can be in line with what His timing is. But we have to make sure that it is God's timing. I know many young preachers that they've tried to force doors open in their ministry because they got tired of waiting on God. And ultimately, all they did was destroy their ministry. They destroyed their life, any chance they had for working with God because they forced a door open. People got impatient, and they made decisions in their life, costly decisions in their life, because they got impatient. They didn't want to wait. I could stand here today and say I still don't do that, but I still do. My wife will tell you sometimes I get an impulse, and I'm an impulse shopper. Amazon is the worst thing that's ever been invented. When I'm bored and I have nothing to do, you know what I do? I go on Amazon. And I find myself saying, oh, I can't do this. My wife will get mad. I have to put my phone down. See, phone, it ain't all about some of the bad stuff like pastors preached about. Sometimes it can be something like that that's bad. It can be something like that that can get you in debt. Amen? But God's timing, we have to be patient and wait on God. I can force things to happen in my life, and it may go kind of smoothly. It may even go really good. I may look at it and say, you know what? That's God's blessing. And when it really wasn't. Not every decision you make is going to be a disaster, but if you're going against God's will, it can happen. And you suffer the repercussions of those decisions. But the times that I really have truly waited on God in my life for decisions or different things that I were doing in my family and job and situation, it's amazing to see how things just fall in line. It's basically like you don't even have to try. You don't have to try. God just puts it in place and just lets it flow. And you just basically end up standing there and thinking, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe how smooth this was, how great this was. It was definitely the hand of God because you waited for His timing. I know people, I've even talked to some that they've been waiting on the Holy Ghost. They've been trying to get the Holy Ghost, praying for the Holy Ghost. And I even know family members that they prayed for years to get the Holy Ghost. And they could not understand why they could not get the Holy Ghost. As far as a Christian, they were living the Christian life the best that they can be. They were in church as hot and on fire as they could be. But just something wasn't clicking. And it wasn't until finally the service came that God just revealed in their mind the right thing. And it just clicked. God's timing. Now, the reason why that was God's timing, because at the same time that God allowed that to click right there in them, there was someone watching them. And when they saw that, it started a fire. It started a fire. God's timing is perfect. And it's like that with healing, too. You wonder why, God didn't heal me this service. Well, maybe it wasn't the right timing. God wasn't ready to get glory out of it for this service. But maybe next service, there's going to be some people here that's going to be watching you, and they're going to see God heal you, and God's going to get glory out of your healing, and it's going to change their lives. It's all about God's timing. We have to see God's glory. And that's the story of Lazarus here. That's really what a lot of it was about, was God's timing had to be at the right place, the right time, so the disciples and everyone there could see His glory, so they could see what God could do. And have another opportunity for them to realize that God can do anything. That God can do anything. So looking at this story, we see that Lazarus represents a hopeless cause, an irreversible situation, a condition beyond repair. How many, you don't raise your hand, but you feel like that's your life right there. I just explained your life. Hopeless beyond repair, irreversible situation, a hopeless cause. You probably looked in the mirror this morning, and that's what was your thoughts. I'm a hopeless cause. Nothing's going to change. Gonna go on and put a big smile on my face and act like everything's okay and everything's all right. Amen. Christians, we got a great poker face. We do. We have the greatest poker face. We can come to church and we can talk to somebody. We can shake their hand with a huge smile on our face and, hey, how are you doing? I'm doing great. I'm doing awesome. When really we're wanting to cry inside. We're just feeling horrible. And, man, we just want to go outside and just pretend like no one else exists. But we're here with a smile on our face, just putting on a good poker face. We're beyond repair in our mind, hopeless cause in our thoughts. Amen? It looks like all future possibilities of life and peace are dead and buried. That was Lazarus. All future possibilities were dead and now buried. That's what it meant when they rolled a stone across the door. So I can see they wrapped him up in the linen. They knew he was dead, but they placed him in there. And the finalization was when they finally rolled that door in front of the tomb. It's the same thing when we go to funerals. Someone will die. We will have a viewing. We will have a funeral. And then we will go to the grave site. And it's finally when they close that casket and they lower him down. It's the finalization. That's when it's final. That's the end of it. It meant that it's over. It's past. It's decided. What is what is. That's what it comes down to. And it's never going to change. But you can't refer to the story of Lazarus and end at the tomb. You can't stop there because the story doesn't stop there. I mean, you could. You could talk about it and you could still preach about it, but that's not where God gets his glory from. You have to go beyond the tomb. Because the whole message of Lazarus is one of redemption, of resurrection, and healing, and deliverance. At the voice of Jesus, this is where the glory comes in. Lazarus was raised from the dead, resurrected. At the voice of Jesus. Amen. It wasn't at the voice of Peter. It wasn't at the voice of Mary. It was at the voice of Jesus. It was when he spoke through the air that something changed and something happened. And what was considered the end, the finalization, where all hope was dead in that situation, had now become a new beginning and a new chance at life, a new hope. All because the voice of Jesus spoke. The power of God was spoken in that situation. Amen? It became a new beginning. Where death had reigned, life had begun again because of the voice of God. Life had begun again. His ending was just his beginning, you could say, as my title would say. His ending was just his beginning. So I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know if you're doing great or just barely making it. That's maybe some of us today, or maybe you feel like the stone has already been rolled in front of your life. Maybe that's where you're at today. You feel like they've already rolled the stone. Maybe it wasn't you. Maybe your friends did it for you. Your friends came around and was like, yep, you ain't got a hope, and they just put the stone right in front of you. They're a done deal. Their goose is cooked. Nothing can be done for them. I hope not, because I hope you got better friends than that. If that is your friends, amen, get some better friends. But that might be where your situation is. You think it's a done deal, that it's all in. But we have to remember that God is not finished with you. God is never finished with you. When God is finished with you, you won't be here. You won't be here. When God is done with you, your life will be over. Because God is done with you. But he's not. He's continually working with us. He's continually changing us. He's continually giving us new opportunities. Amen? At life. So you may be bound. You may look dead. You may act dead. Maybe you're like Lazarus and maybe even stink like you're dead this morning. Maybe not physically, just spiritually you stink. You might physically stink too. I don't know. I'm not sitting next to you. Don't point fingers. Don't do it. But it was all at the sound of Jesus' voice that all that changed. The death, it was gone. Jesus said unto her, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. See, the key here, and this goes back to any message we can teach, any message we can preach, any Bible study, it all hinges on the fact that you believe. You have to believe. If you don't believe that God can really do what God says he can do, then what is the point of you being here today? What is the point of you trying to live for God if you don't really believe that God is God? that God can really do what he said he can do in his scripture. Because that is where our faith is. That is where our hope is. That we trust and we know and believe that this word is true. That this word is alive and that we can trust it at its word. That when God says he can heal us, we can have faith that he is going to heal us. We have to believe it. Amen. Amen. This generation, sometimes people think is unreachable. And I think about that sometimes when I look at young people and what they're going through. I see what they're dealing with in their life, stuff that I never dealt with in my life. Amen. They're facing situations that I would have never dreamed of facing when I was their age, this generation. And it scares me. It scares me for my daughter that what this world is going to be like when she's a teenager. And I mean, even just now in elementary school, some of the things that she's had to deal with and that we've had to deal with as parents just blows my mind. And it's disheartening. Because you just wonder, what is this world going to be just in a few years? And many can get the thought that this generation may be unreachable because there's too much going on. And some would say that the answer is, you know, organized religion, and all, as long as you have something you believe in, they'll be okay. But the answer is not in the organized religion. It's not in philosophies and the traditions of man. Say what you may, it's not in our songs. It's not in our worship. It's not in what we do as Christians. It's all in the simple fact of believing and hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. See, we can look the part. We can do everything right. We can be the spitting image of what a Christian should be. But unless the power of God is there, nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to happen. We don't have the power to do it ourselves. I can talk about it, I can act like it's going to change, but the power of God is the only thing that is going to change what can be changed. Amen? John 5:25 says, "Verily, verily, I say to you that the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." That's the answer right there. You have to hear the voice of God. And sometimes this world is so loud in the things that they do. There's so much things going on in life that sometimes we have to help them get to the place where they can hear the voice of God. We have to help them realize what the voice of God is. I know some of our men's things, one of the questions that was asked was, "How do you know you heard the voice of God?" That's a good question. Some people can raise their hands and say, "I've really never heard the voice of God. I've never heard an audible voice come from God." Some people can say they have. I've heard an audible voice in my life, just God speaking to me before. It's a scary thing when it happens. It's not just, "Oh, hey, how you doing?" No, it scares you. Some people haven't had that. But majority of time, the voice of God is simply an impression that God will impress in your mind and in your spirit. Sometimes you will hear the voice of your pastor. That's what I hear a lot. A lot of times they'll say, "God spoke to me. It wasn't an audible voice, but in my spirit, in my mind, I heard the voice of my pastor saying something." And that was God using the voice of their pastor. Amen? So it may be something like that. But we have to listen to the voice of God, and we have to get to a place where we hear God's voice. The sad thing is there is not many places where God's voice is being heard, and we're hearing all kinds of goofy doctrines in our world. I mean, they got doctrines of coffee. I mean, you name it, there's a doctrine based off of it in some way, shape, or form. And it's crazy when you really look at them and how many there are. We got self-help gurus, and that's becoming a doctrine, even though it's not about a God. It's about yourself. You're your own personal leader, your own personal God. And you can will yourself into being powerful and successful through self-help gurus. And then we had the false teachers that are on TV all the time, and they're proclaiming, "Oh, if you do this, you know, God will make you a millionaire and he'll bless you and you'll do this," and, you know, but you have to give them all your money in order for you to be a millionaire. I really don't understand the concept. The math doesn't work. And then we have life coaches that just, "Hey, you're doing good. You're doing good." That's all they do. "You're doing good. You're doing good." Amen. I know apostolic preachers that have given up the ministry to become life coaches because there was money in it. It paid more. There was more fame in it. They were awesome preachers, awesome speakers. They were packing out coliseums, but they weren't making as much money as they were being a life coach. That's what our generation is dealing with. That's what we're dealing with in the world today. So many voices coming forth, drowning out the voice of God. So people can't hear it. But when they hear God, that's when lives are changed. And we have to be there to help them hear God. So church has to be ready. And I'm talking about revival here. The church has to be ready. Revival just doesn't happen with us few in these four walls. Revival happens when we touch the city. When we start getting the city coming in, we start getting sinners coming in this place. That's when revival has to happen. And Jesus spoke of Lazarus and began to breathe life again when his voice came out. He came out of the grave. He was alive again, breathing fresh air, moving on his own. It was a joyous occasion when you look at it, when he spoke. And so just like when we have sinners come out of this world to this church, it's going to be a joyous occasion. We're going to come into this place and we're going to see new life in them. We're going to see something, that a fire that maybe we haven't even seen for a while, because it's a new life that just started and they're moving on their own. They're breathing on their own. It's a happy occasion and it's an exciting occasion. But see, here's the problem with someone being born again and resurrected from a spiritual death of where they were. It is the issue that we still have to deal with is that they're still bound. They're still bound. There's still an issue that we have to look at. Even though Lazarus was alive and he was moving, he was still bound with the grave clothes. He was still dealing with the same things that had him bound from the grave. He couldn't free himself. He wouldn't have made it very far. So you got to picture him walking out of the grave, really hopping, because when Jesus told him to come forth, he came forth and he was still bound. No one had loosed him yet, but someone had to help him get free or he would remain bound. He eventually would find himself right back in the same place if no one would unbind him. If they would have just left him tied up, left him where he couldn't move, even though he was now alive, eventually he would have starved to death, he would have died, and he would have been right back in the tomb because no one released him to be able to be free. John 11:44 says, "And that he was dead, came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go." So even though Lazarus was alive, he was still bound. Even though he was breathing air, he was still held by the things that had held him bound. And so you got to look at this situation here. Get this in your mind. He had been in the grave for several days, dead. The scripture even says, we don't want to do this. We don't want to roll away the tomb. They're telling Jesus because he stinketh by now. So picture this. He's been in there for a while. He stinks. It's a bad situation. It's not really something that you want to see, that you want to look at. And now Jesus is telling them, someone needs to go up there and unbind him. So someone had to be the volunteer to walk up to Lazarus on these stinky rags that had been in there, these dead stink rags, and start touching them and peeling them away. They had to get in there and get with that smell and get with that dirt in order to unbind him. Who's going to be the volunteer? I really don't want to, I'll be honest with you. I've been around dead bodies a lot with my career. I know what a dead body smells like. I don't want to be the person volunteering to touch those rags and that stench. Even though he's alive, I still don't want to touch it. And so here it is, all these stinky rags and everything, they had to be removed. And I'm sure not everyone jumped at the chance to help him. Peter, I'm sure, even though he's the most outspoken in the Bible, the disciples, I'm sure he wasn't the first one to jump up like, he says, I'll do it. Probably not. He probably just took a step back a little bit. Go ahead, boys. You got it. You can take it from here. And it's like that in church. I've seen many times where new converts come into the house of God, they get saved, they get the Holy Ghost, they get baptized, everything is on the up and up, life is good for them, but they still stink because they still got some of the same baggage, they still got to go home and deal with the same stink that they've been living in. And us as Christians, we're afraid to get around them, and we're afraid to help them get out of that because we don't want to be associated with that. Oh yeah, we understand they just got the Holy Ghost, they just got baptized, but and they're still doing this. They haven't been freed from this addiction quite yet. They still don't dress the way that I really want to be seen around. I don't want to be seen around them the way they dress. And, you know, the things they're doing, it's not going to look good for me as a Christian if I'm around that. And no one wants to really help them get out of their stinky situation. No one wants to go and help them out of their rags and help them get unbound. But that is the purpose of the church. That is the purpose of the church. Jesus didn't stay in the synagogues. Jesus didn't stay in the churches and stay only in the Christians' homes. He went with the sinners and ate with them. He went with the sinners and talked with them. He even got down in the dirt with the sinner and started writing in the dirt in order to save her life. And us as Christians, sometimes we're afraid to do that, but we can't. If we want to see the glory of God in our lives, and I said it many times, and I even preached at Moses where he told God, God, I want to get on the mountainside with you, and I want to see your glory, God. Show me your glory. Well, it's not going to happen unless we're willing to get out there and see his glory. We have to get out of our four walls. We have to get out of this box that we're in as Christians and be willing to go out there and talk to some people and witness to some people. Amen? I say it all the time, God, I want to see your glory. I tell God, God, I want to see miracles like I've never seen miracles before. I want to see your hand and your power like I've never experienced before in my life. Well, it's not going to happen if I just stay here on the pew. It's not going to happen if I never give God an opportunity to show his glory. If I never reach out to somebody who needs to feel his glory. Amen? Amen? Someone is going through something today, and it's up to us to help them hear the voice of God and experience his glory. Stand with me this morning. Amen? When God sends hurting and spiritually dead people to our church, they might raise from the dead with green hair or purple hair. When God sends a sinner in this church, they may raise from the grave right here, this watery grave, with piercings all over their body, with tattoos that you've never seen before, even tattoos that may even make you blush a little bit. They might even raise from the dead, not sure whether they're male or female. Just being honest in the generation we live in. But we as the church, we have to be ready to loose them from the grave clothes that have them bound. God can save them. God can deliver them. But God uses us to take the grave clothes off. God uses us to free them from their situation, to show them the glory of God. Amen? Do you want to see God's glory? Do you want to experience the power of God like you've never experienced it before? Amen. It's in your hands. It's in your hands of what you want to experience, of what you want to see of God. Amen? It's all in your hands. So to look past their past and equip them for their destiny, that's what God wants to do. The church has to be willing to make a change in our lives in order to change someone else's life. Amen? We have to be willing to have a change in our life in order to change someone else's life. Pastor said in our meeting this morning, someone for the second time told him, Pastor, I see this church running 500 people. I see this church running 500 people. Amen. We claim that. Not only do we claim it, but we feel it too. Look at what God has done just in the last year of this church. Look what he's done in the last 2 years of this church. It is evident that God's hand is on this church and on this city. I'm excited to see what God is going to do in our future. Amen. We're going to see blind eyes open. We're going to see deaf ears opened. We're going to see the power of God like we've never seen it before. But I don't want to be on the outside looking in on it. I want to be in the middle of it. Amen. I want to be right there where it's happening saying, I didn't hear about that. I didn't hear about this person being raised from the dead, but I want to be able to look at my daughter when she grows up and say, hey, let me tell you about what I saw. I was there. I saw the power of God. I experienced it for myself. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you want to be that type of person? You experienced it for yourself? Amen. Let's just raise our hands and let's just ask God, God, show us your glory like never before. God, I just come to you right now, Jesus. We know your word is true. God, that we know your word is a promise to us. God, we just ask you right now, Lord, bring us to a place that we can hear your voice clearer than we've ever heard it before. God, bring us to a place in your spirit where we can experience your glory like we've never felt it before, God. Lord, we want you to have your way in this place. God, we want your revival to take control of us. God, we want your spirit to flow freely through this place. God, we want this city to see you like they've never seen you before, God. And God, we don't want to be on the outside, but Lord, we want to be the hands and feet that you use. Lord, we want to be the voice of the one that you use to speak to this world. God, we want to be the hands that you use to lay on the people and be healed. God, use our feet and guide us to where you want us to go today. God, we want your purpose to be fulfilled, God. Lord, we want your purpose and your will to be done in our lives, God, as you see it fit, God. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and we give you glory and we give you honor for it, Lord, for your testimony. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. 15 minutes, we'll be starting service up again. We have refreshments right outside the back doors. Amen. Shake somebody's hands, give them a hug, tell them you love them. Amen.
Jonah is a story of great, great mercy. Don't ever brand yourself as a failure. Label yourself as one that got up and started again. Label yourself as one that's going to go depend on the mercy of God. And if you fail the second and third time, you brand yourself as the one that's going to come back and let God's mercy touch you again and again. Amen. Don't ever say, I've gone too far. Don't ever get into that void where the enemy would like to brand you and make you turn you into be a loser and cause you to think you're not worthy of God anymore. But get back up and say, the mercy of God is greater than my biggest failures, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to plead Him again, and I'm going to plead my cause, and I'm going to say, God, cover me one more time. And God will, God will, God will. Now the rest of you, I'd like for you to come in behind these youth. You're going to pray with us, okay? Oh, God is awesome in this place. I feel the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. There's a presence of the Lord here today. And it is this kind of a presence where young people hear and feel the call of God on their life. And you may have a call and you know, but it might be a little blurry. And I want God to clarify it a little for you today. Because the Lord is here. Oh, He's here. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. He is here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And young people, if your life takes you to another city, don't let a day go by when you know you're going to be there before you find out where that church is at. Amen. Don't let a day go by. Don't let a week go by. Don't ever let a week go by. Because the space that you have between where you are and that space between when you're planning on finding that church, that space is where the enemy works on our young people. That's why this age group, they're more apt to leave than any other time. Don't be a statistic. Say, God, I got to have you, Lord. I've got to find you in the power of your spirit today. I got to find and attach myself to the kingdom. Attach myself to the church. I want God to have His way in the life of these young people. But young people, don't ever succumb to the labeling of the enemy to where he marks you half off and makes you think you're not worthy to be a part of the kingdom anymore. You got a call. God is going to give you the power to rise up and accomplish His will. God is able right now. You know what I feel in the Holy Ghost is there's already some here that have already flipped the switch and said, well, I'm trying to find God's plan B for my life. Let's shove that out of the way, please. Let's go back to plan A. How? Mercy. Mercy. Amen. God's mercy. Let's do exactly what God intended for us to do the very first time. Don't mark yourself down. There's nothing that you've done, nothing that you've done that's going to lower you in God's sight and being fit for His kingdom. Nothing. I'm sorry. We used to sing a song in the choir. It was my least favorite song because my wife made me sing one of the verses. And it was probably everybody's least favorite because we had a lot of good songs. Choir sounded good singing it. But it's the song was, there's bigger sins than that beneath the blood. Bigger sins than that beneath the blood. The thing about being young, it's great, it's awesome. But one of the things you don't know is you don't know the stories behind the leaders in the churches. Now, see, it's dangerous for me to say that, but I don't think you'll take advantage of me. What you could say is, oh, pastor's saying there's people that fail in pastor churches and or pastor's wives. I'm saying that, but that's not saying, why don't you try that path? No. I'm saying God can take a mess and he can create awesome beauty out of it. Because it is not your goodness anyway that God's going to use to do his work. It's his goodness and it's his mercy and it's his power. It's his spirit in the first place. Amen. That's why we just got to repent and get over it and get on with our work for God, because he's not paying attention to our past. I feel a significance in this place right now. Every service is good. I agree. Every service is good. I feel a significance in this service right now. I believe that there's some turning that's going to take place when we pray. There's some turning. Now, if somebody doesn't lay hands on you, the prayer, God's able. We pray by faith and lay it on of hands. We want to impart. But there's going to be such a flood of God's meaning and purpose here. God's going to touch you all. Are y'all ready? Parents, adults, are you ready to help me out back there? Oh God, let's go to him right now. We're serving a God that's able. Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus right now, God, that your hand would be on these young people, these precious vessels, God, vessels of your purpose, God, vessels that you've called. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Let your hand of mercy, God, Lord, let your hand of mercy today reach out, Lord, and touch these souls. Lord, direct their life in Jesus' name. God, direct their life right now, Lord. Jesus, let your will be done. Lord, let your will be done, Jesus. Lord, in your name, God, your kingdom come, we pray. Let your will be done, mighty God, in your power. Lord, according to your almighty purpose, I'm asking in the name of Jesus, Lord, thy kingdom come and let your will open the doors. God, open the doors. Lord, open the doors in Jesus' name, Lord, by your power, God. Oh, you see this need, Lord. You see the need, God, and I want you to make a way. Lord, make a way where there's no way, God, in your name, Jesus. Lord, make a way, Lord, today. Open the doors and guide these steps. Jesus, guide these steps. Lord, guide these steps, God. Oh, God, you're the God of our path. You're the God of our life, God. Let your will be done, Lord. God, let your will be done, Lord. Your will be done. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in your name, Lord, let your will be done, God. Lord, I pray for your purpose today, God. Oh, touch Anna, God, and let your purpose, your divine order, come into her life, Lord. Order her steps, God. Oh, order her steps, God. Touch Janie in the name of Jesus. Let your power be upon her, Lord. Your anointing be upon her. Oh, order her steps, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Order, God, in the name, oh, holy God, we pray. Lord, I pray that the opportunities show themselves to us and have your way. Speak into these lives, God, by your great power, by your goodness, oh God. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. My God, have your way, Lord, have your way, have your way. Jesus, our Savior, holy God, holy God, holy God, holy God. Lord, in your name, Jesus, in your name. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Oh, Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Thank you for the significance of the moment, God. Thank you, Lord, for the order of your name and your power. Lord, for reaching and touching, God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given to these people, Lord. Jesus, in your name, Lord, in your name, God. Holy Father, I pray, let your will be done. Father, order our steps in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, God, in your name, you are our helper and our Savior. Lord, touch, I pray, Lord, and God, take it down the path that is needed. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, Father, in your name, God, you're able today. Lord, you're able, God, to keep these paths and open the path up, Lord. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Oh, holy God, holy God, let your kingdom come.
I know the parents and our youth would be honored if you would be back with us at 4 o'clock to honor these graduates and show our support for them. And I'm proud of them. I really am. And I hope that my joking about my placement in the order never causes one of these young people to say, well, I want to be like Pastor. There's times it's all right to be like me, you know, if I did something great, but that was not great. And so don't try to mimic that. And I want to, you know, full disclosure, I was halfway through, but excel, go beyond. Why didn't I think of that? That was perfectly said. She was the honor student, would have graduated here. Her dad moved middle of her year, had to go and take double classes because of two state history. Had to take Texas history, make up for that, do a whole year of that and another class, and still graduated with honors.
on the same day or the same week as she walked with honors, I graduated too. So there you go. And I got the microphone. But I will tell you this, that me and my wife both separately didn't know each other. We both were praying for the will of God in our lives. And she said, how can this be the will of God that I had a scholarship to Bible college, I didn't get to go because they were evangelizing, and she was the singer that sang before her dad preached. And she was saying, how can this be the will of God? And they came to our church, and there it was. And we got married, by the way, and you know, all that worked out. But young people, that's what I'd like to add to that is, you're never going to see how God's going to work things out. I would never have thought evangelist is going to come and his daughter is going to be the one I'm going to marry. And, you know, God has many ways to bless us, to answer our prayers. But it just takes a steady persistence of praying for the will of God for every step you take. And don't be impatient. Don't be impatient. Just say, God, give me patience. And you'll get there. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. He's awesome. Brother Gomes, come dismiss us. 4 o'clock. Let's honor our graduates.
Between my wife and I. Yes, ma'am. Between my wife and I, we have 4 years of college. She has a bachelor's degree. I went to Farrier School. Pray about your future, guys. Praise God. Please don't forget our midweek services. Guys, this is a hard service for a youth pastor to close. I'm telling you, this is awesome. I'm excited. All right, please don't forget our midweek services. Prayer meetings at on Tuesday evening at 7:30. Actually, at 7 o'clock. If you come at 7:30, you can still pray, but you have to stay till 8:30. It's a powerful experience. Please don't forget about Tuesday night prayer. Wednesday, worship and word is at 7:30. Prayer starts at 7 on that night as well. So this afternoon at 4 o'clock, please join us. Also, this is for the youth. Today's the final day. No, next Sunday, June 17th. Next Sunday is the final day to get your camp registration in. That's for teen camp. That is your 13 and 14 camps. If you're 15 and 16, those camp registrations are due today. Please see my wife, Sister Alexis. Please make sure that happens. If you want to go to camp but you're not sure how to make that happen financially, please see us anyway. We were blessed with scholarships, so please see us. Make sure that we want to make sure that everybody who wants to go to camp and has the ability to go to camp gets there. Amen? All right. We invite all of our first-time guests to meet Pastor and the ministry team in the hospitality room. That's in the foyer to the right. Please see us directly after dismissal. So having that said, we will see you here in just a few hours. Right back here, I believe it'll be right here in the sanctuary, right? Yep. So we'll be right back here at 4 o'clock. Please join us and be a blessing to our graduates. We certainly are proud of them. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together. God, thank you for the prayers that have gone forth. God, thank you for the lives that have been transformed in this setting right here, God, in this very altar. God, thank you for the lives that you're transforming, for the young people that you've reached. God, help us right now. Oh God, to retain those things, Jesus. Thank you for the prayers that have gone forth for those that aren't here. Thank you for the prayers that are gone out for those that aren't here right now, God, that you're covering them. And we won't stop praying for them, God. We won't stop interceding for them, God. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor that is due to your name. Go with us from this house, God. Keep us and bless us. Everyone said amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.